Hello everyone and welcome to a movie review for Wonder Woman 1984, a film that was supposed to have been released a little over a year ago, November 2019, but then it got pushed back to June 2020, and then I believe to August, and then again to October, and then I think even November, and then finally was released on Christmas Day, December 25th, on HBO Max. In the United States, as well as movie theaters worldwide that are open and available. And this is going to be a non-spoiler review, since I know there are still a lot of people who haven't seen it yet. You know, I want to be considerate of that, because I know there are a lot of people who are very eagerly wanting to see this film, and I don't want to ruin the experience for them. And also, I want to preface this review by saying, do not listen to anybody that has been posting their feelings online, whether positive or negative. Form your own opinions. Go see the movie yourself if you're able to, and form your own thoughts and opinions on what you see. Because if you let other people influence you on how you're going to see a movie or how you're going to feel about a movie, then just you shouldn't see the movie, in my opinion. You know, like all the people that are making a big deal because of the Rotten Tomatoes score changing once it was finally released. As I have always said, do not listen to Rotten Tomatoes. But anyways, yes, this is going to be a non-spoiler review for Wonder Woman 1984, or WW84. And before I get into the actual review itself, I'm going to say, actually, I'm going to read off what I put down on my post on Vero for that. And I put it as a recommendation post. It says, I feel so many emotions for this film, but I definitely had a great time watching it. Gal Gadot was wonderful, as she always is. Kristen Wiig was very good, and Pedro Pascal shines in every scene he's in. Can't wait to watch it again soon. And yes, I do plan on watching it again as many times as possible before it leaves HBO Max. And yeah, I genuinely had a great time watching this film. I really did. And a lot of people, because of the brighter presentation of the film, are not a fan of that because they think it's trying to be too much like MCU 2.0, and I just don't see that at all. I mean, it's a film taking place in the 80s, and the brighter colors are very representative of the 80s. Representative or representative? I don't know. Whatever is the proper use of the phrase for that. It's very much a representation of the 80s, especially the year 1984. And so yeah, the brighter colors is very much an 80s trope, I guess you could say, but it's a very popular one, and a lot of people love the 80s, especially, you know, with, you know, successful series like Stranger Things and other films and shows that have come out in over the last decade or so. So, Wonder Woman 1984, I feel, even though I was born in the later half of the 80s, it felt very much, you know, based on other 80s films that I've watched that were actually filmed in the 80s, it felt very much like it belonged in that era, in my opinion, at least. The score by Hans Zimmer was absolutely wonderful and superb. Hans Zimmer always delivers on these scores, and I'll actually put the link in the description for this episode for anyone who would like to listen to the score, because on the Warner Brothers, Water Tower Records, I believe, say Water Tower Records, their YouTube channel, they have the full album on there, so I'll link that on there, so for anyone that wants to check it out, or, you know, you can also check it on Spotify or iTunes or any other form that you like to listen to your music. And it's a beautiful score, and yes, there were a lot of people that talked about that they used the Beautiful Eye that from Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice. It is featured in this film, and I'm not going to say how or when in the story that it's featured, but I will say that it is beautifully done. Yeah, pun intended, I guess. Very beautifully done and very beautifully used in this film, and if you've already seen it, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. And again, it's a very... Even though the trailers made us feel like it was going to be a much lighter story, there's still, like, comedy and stuff like that, haha, kind of thing. And yes, there is some humor sprinkled throughout, particularly the mall sequence. A lot of the stuff that's done in that sequence, it can be seen, you know, it's done for comedic purposes, which, I mean, is to be expected. And besides, most of it we already saw in the trailers anyway, so anyone that's complaining about that specifically, it's like, you already knew what you were getting when you saw the trailers. And, I feel like the comedy used throughout, it's not a lot, but it's there, did not feel out of place, at least to me. And I can see with the mall sequence, yes, I can see why some people had issues with that. I can understand why it felt like, it's in some parts, specific parts of it at least, it felt out of place with the rest of the film. But at the same time, these are superhero stories, not to be taken too seriously. Although there is a lot of serious elements throughout this story, it is a very serious and dramatic story overall, with little bits of levity and lightheartedness sprinkled throughout there. The action, of course, is great, much like the first film. Not as much action as the first film. This one is very much more story driven, in my opinion at least. It's more about the story than the action. It has been a couple months since I've seen the first Wonder Woman movie, so maybe if I revisit that, maybe sometime this week I can do a double feature, Wonder Woman and then Wonder Woman 84, and see how it compares. But like the visual aspect is different from the first film, which is very obvious when you watch it. Yeah, but that's not an issue in my opinion. That's not a knock on the film at all. I enjoy it very much because the first film, the color palette was darker because it was, the story takes place during World War I, and that's not exactly the brightest period in history of this blue planet that we live on. To paraphrase and steal a phrase from Lex Luthor in Batman vs. Superman, a little blue planet right here. Boom. And I've seen a lot of people complaining about how the story didn't make any sense at all, in their opinion. I thought it made a lot of sense, and it felt very much like a comic book movie brought to life, and which in some cases it can be great, other cases it can be bad. When they try too much to be like the comic books, sometimes it just doesn't work out. But to me, it worked out here. But I am a fan of Patty Jenkins. I mean, the movie Monster that she directed with Charlize Theron that won her Best Actress Oscar, phenomenal film. So anyone that doubts Patty Jenkins, and also I'm recording this Sunday, December 27th, they just announced that they greenlit Wonder Woman 3 to be directed by Patty Jenkins. Anyone that's doubting Patty Jenkins, based on whatever their negative feelings are for this film, go watch Monster. It's a phenomenal movie, and I would hope it would reinforce your faith in Patty Jenkins. Where was I going with? Oh yeah, there are times where it can feel like the tone is a little over the place, and that can be a bit jarring for some people. It was not that much of an issue for me, because it was lighthearted when it needed to be. And it was dramatic and serious when it needed to be. And, Chris Pine, not spoiling how his return happens, although you can kind of figure it out by the trailers. He was wonderful, as always. The chemistry that he has with Gal, is it Gal or Gal? Either way, that he has with her after the first film coming into this one, still wonderful. Especially how the role reversal of the first film, Diana was the fish out of water, entering this new world that she's unfamiliar with, being the role reversal of Steve Trevor now being the fish out of water in this new world that he's not familiar with, is a dynamic that is very well done in my opinion, and the chemistry between Chris and Gal, it's so natural, And not a lot of on-screen couples, are able to have that natural chemistry that doesn't feel forced, and especially in these kind of movies, the superhero genre films, especially in a lot of the MCU movies, a lot of the romance stories that are in those, they don't really work out that well because they feel too forced. The one that most people go to is the Bruce Banner and Natasha in Age of Ultron, that they just throw that out there for the hell of it, for whatever reason that Joss Whedon thought people were going to be into that. I mean, I didn't hate it, but at the same time, it's like, was that necessary? What did it do to the story? It did nothing. But yeah, this is not about Age of Ultron. This is about Wonder Woman 84. If you're watching this on YouTube, you see I have my Wonder Woman 84 t-shirt that I got from Five Below. I absolutely love this shirt. Like I said, Pedro Pascal, I mean, everybody's performance in this movie is great. Kristen Wiig is great, Gal Gadot is great, Chris Pine is great. But Pedro Pascal specifically, like I said, he shines in every scene that he's in. And it's just, I love that he's getting the recognition that he's been getting now with The Mandalorian and now with, as Max Lord. It is just, he's just so damn charming, so wonderful that even playing the villain in this film, it's like yeah, he's kind of an asshole in some parts, but at the same time it's like, god damn it, Pedro, you're so damn charming, I can't hate you. I even said it on another post that I put on Vero, saying that I have a bit of a man crush on Pedro Pascal. I admit that, but then again everybody loves him, I've yet to meet someone who does not at least like him. And I would very much love to meet him and just get his thoughts on, some of these things. You know, like how he felt about playing Max Lord and his feelings about getting to be part of the Star Wars universe. And, and if he has any, aspirations for other nerdy projects like that. He just seems like a genuinely nice guy that's just happy to do what he does, And since they did, make the announcement of Wonder Woman 3 with no date yet, but again, Patty's supposed to return as writer and director, and Gal's gonna star in it, obviously. And they've always talked about that if they got to do a third Wonder Woman movie, it would be modern day instead of being another period piece like the first two films were. So I'm very curious with how the film, it taking place, the third film being in modern times, jumps off of where they are from here, and the lessons learned from this story, because this story is very much. It's very much a story driven. They kind of, like at the end of the first Wonder Woman, that where she's, a symbol of hope and love, and the story here is very much about hope and love and truth. She is very much that beacon of hope, love, and truth. And we see that very much in both of these films, and as Zack Snyder even discussed on how she'll be in his Justice League movie coming out to HBO Max March of 2021. That she is very much that beacon of hope, truth, and love. And, that she is that shining light of the DC universe. Especially with Gal in the role, it's just, can do no wrong, in my opinion. Even though I'm not going to talk about specifics to some of the scenes, but, the way, Barbara Minerva, played by Kristen Wiig, her descent into becoming Cheetah, to me, was very well done as well. And the friendship that's established early on between Diana and Barbara, felt very natural as well. And especially because, Gal and Kristen, they became very good friends while making this film, so that just helps it even more, and shows, that the chemistry is genuine, not forced, like in a lot of movies can be. And you start to really sympathize with her as, with Barbara, pronouns pal, where, her descent into where she becomes Cheetah, it's like you start to really feel a lot of sympathy for her, and you feel understanding of I get it. I feel that way too, And I think in the second trailer they released, that there's the line that that Barbara says, it was the second trailer where she says, people, you have everything, and people like me have had nothing. Now it's my turn. That is something that a lot of people can relate to. So, good job there. and I also know that this film was co-written by Geoff Johns, and a lot of Snyder fans specifically of the DCEU, not very fond of Geoff Johns, and I get that. I understand why. So that's another reason why some of them are shitting on this movie. But yeah, like I've tweeted out before, just because Geoff Johns wrote your favorite comic book does not mean he's not a shitty human being. And on the flip side of that, just because he did some shitty things, you can't deny that he's a great comic book writer. I mean, I have three of his stories, you know, on my shelf, you know, in the other room. Doomsday Clock Part 1 and 2, the DC Rebirth Deluxe Edition. Those are all written by Geoff Johns, and they're great stories. So, you know, and you can be a great artist while being a shitty human being. Stanley Kubrick was a bit of a shitty human being, but he was a great artist with his films. And that's actually a podcast that I'm going to try to get done this week before the end of the year, because I already have the thumbnail written out for that with episode 106 on there, and I'm too lazy to change that, so I'm going to try to get that recorded before the end of this week so that I can get my other podcast afterwards, the Looking Back at 2020 podcast that I've been really eager to do, because that's going to be a fun one to do to recap this year. But, yeah. And there is the mid-credit scene for Wonder Woman 84. And not going to spoil it, although I'm sure people on Twitter have already spoiled the hell out of everything in this movie, for that matter. You know, without consideration, especially people in the United States that just don't give a shit, because this country is just so fucking narcissistic. I'm not going to spoil anything for that. Just, it's a nice little wink and nod to DC fans. And also, the opening where they show Diana once again as a child, I enjoyed that very much, and it very much sets the pace and the tone of what the story is going to be for the, you know, for the entire duration of the 2.5 hours that this film is. And I was actually reading something a little while ago about how Warner Brothers apparently wanted that to be cut out from the film, but Patty Jenkins fought to keep it in, much like the No Man's Land sequence from the first film, that Warner Brothers wanted them to cut that out. Patty fought for that, and that's the most memorable sequence in the entire film. So, just again, the case of Warner Brothers just not knowing what the fuck they're doing sometimes, you know, or at least certain executives, at least. But yeah, I enjoyed that opening sequence with them on Themyscira, with the Amazons, and, you know, little Diana, played by Lily Aspin. Getting to see Robin Wright once again as Antiope, and Connie Nielsen as his Hippolyta, always wonderful. I mean, Connie Nielsen is just wonderful in general. And I very much enjoyed getting to see them, the three of them, on my screen once again, playing these wonderful characters. And since the third film is supposed to be taking place in modern day, I'm not so sure we're going to get to see them again, which, sad, but at the very least, we could see Connie Nielsen again in Zack Snyder's Justice League coming in a few months. And I believe Robin Wright as Antiope. She'll be featured in the history lesson with, you know, the Amazons, Atlanteans, and all the other, you know, armies taking on Darkseid and his people. So, looking forward to seeing that. Yeah, that's really all I got to say. Honestly, I don't have much else to say without spoiling anything from this film. I will say that at times I did feel a little more emotionally invested in this story than I did the first film. And for some people that might be like, oh my god, the first film was perfect, second film is trash, and blah, blah, blah. But hey, feel how you want to feel about these films. I am not ashamed to admit that I cried quite a few times watching this film. And, you know, it just hits you. You know, that's, you know, like that. If you're as sensitive of a guy as I am, certain scenes will register with you on that level. But yeah, you know, if I have to give this a rating or a score, or have to rank this amongst the rest of the DCEU films, I don't know where I'd put it. But I very much enjoyed this film, and I highly recommend anyone who hasn't seen it yet to please find a way to watch it, either by theater if you're able to, or, you know, if you have HBO Max, or please check it out there, or if you have a good VPN setup where you can watch it on HBO Max if you're not in the United States, you know, go ahead and do that as well. And I hope you enjoy it, and if you don't, that's okay too. Just don't be the kind of people that will shit on your love of the film just because they don't like it, you know. Or don't be the person that, because you don't like it, don't shit on somebody else for liking it. Because then you're just, that's just, you're just a bad person either way if you do that. But yeah, I loved it. If you loved it, you know, look forward to discussing it with all of you. If you didn't like it, please, you know, feel free to share your reasons why you didn't like it. You can do so either by commenting on the video here on YouTube, or by reaching me on my social media, Twitter, Instagram, Vero, Snapchat. All those are in the description as well. And if you're not subscribed to the Minutetize Podcast, you can do so on YouTube, Spotify, Google Podcasts, CastBox, Radio Public, Breaker, and Anchor. All those direct links are in the description for this. And you can support me by joining Patreon, $1 a month. You can support me by buying a shirt in the Minutetize Podcast store. Those links are in the description as well. And also, please contribute to the Autumn Snyder Tribute Fund. That link is in the description as well. We just crossed a week ago, after recording this, we crossed the $500,000 mark. And now our goal is to reach to $1 million donated to the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. And that'll just be a wonderful thing to accomplish. That link is in the description. And any other links that I have in the description for this, please click on those and check them out. Hope you all had a wonderful Christmas, wonderful holiday, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, whatever you celebrate, Boxing Day. And I hope this coming new year will be much better to you than this year, unless you've had a good year for 2020. I don't know. Either way, I hope you all are doing well, staying safe, staying healthy, taking care of yourselves and your loved ones, and being good human beings. And yeah, this has been my non-spoiler review for Wonder Woman 1984. I am Julian, and I will see you on the next one. Bye-bye.